yes, and tell everybody about it. We need to have one more presentation about the survey.
We resume council meeting. We're gonna start off with 8.1, branding project, consultant selection. Who would like to take the lead on 8.1? Deputy Mayor Kelly.
8.1. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality award the contract for branding services to M5 for a total cost of $60,363.50.
Seconder to that motion?
50 cents.
Councilor Frelick?
Very precise.
Hi.
Penny, would you like to give us a brief update on this item?
Yes.
Happy vacation.
Can you speak up, please?
If they don't work, eh?
All right.
So we put out a call for proposals on early March. It closed on March 22nd. We had 7 people submit proposals, 7 agencies. And in putting together the proposal, I pulled together a small team of staff interdepartmentally, and we worked on the RFP together and then reviewed all the proposals. We had 2 meetings, one where we came together and reviewed all of the proposals, and then we chose our top 3, and we came back a few days later and went through our top 3, and we all unanimously agreed on M5. So the cost for M5 is $60,363.50, which is going to put us over budget. With our HST rate, I think it'll probably be around maybe $7,000 or $8,000 over budget. Chris, is that what you think? Yeah, so in agreeing to that, you would be obviously agreeing to being slightly over budget. I don't know, do you have any questions for me about...
Jenny,
Councilor Fisk.
What was the original budget for that?
$50,000.
50?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me the reason why you might have picked this one over the rest?
I think that their proposal altogether was it was very professional, it was well put together. Creatively, it really stood out from the rest, and also they have a track record and a 30-year history. And
Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Do we know right now, putting this recommendation forward, where we're going to get this extra money from? Oh, did you say that we didn't have to pay for it until... We only pay for so much now.
Yes, so we'd pay...
And then if we agree on the second part of it, right, okay.
Right, so we can also pay by phase.
Right.
So we had divided into 5 phases. And we have an opportunity after the 3rd phase, which is when the creative is developed, to say, no, we don't want to go in that direction, or, and then we don't have to follow through on the rest. And that was I think the first 3 phases was $41,262, and that's inclusive of HST. So again, it would be slightly less than that with our HST.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask another question? Can you tell us a little bit about M5? Like, who are they? Where they come from? Like, I don't know anything about these branding companies.
Yeah, so
are they from Nova Scotia even?
They're an Atlantic agency. I'm just going to pull out their... Yeah, so they're Atlantic Canada. They have offices in St. John's, Halifax, I think. I feel like they're in...
What kind of work have they done before? Like, who have they branded for, and what will we recognize anything that they've done?
They've done the Halifax Stanfield Airport. They also did the Discovery Center, and those were included in their examples of what they gave. They did some work with Shelburne and their economic development strategy. They've done Newfoundland, Brampton, Ontario, Miramichi, Moncton, Fredericton.
You mean Newfoundland as a province? They branded the whole province?
They have worked on that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know them from there, just to...
Yeah.
Yeah, just to be clear.
Okay.
Any other councillor have a question? Councillor Frelick?
So I think you know my whole thoughts on branding.
Mm-hmm.
We make it clear every time. Was there anything else in there that led you to believe that there's additional things
mm-hmm.
that may satisfy the vision part of it? That because to end up with a singular brand
mm-hmm.
with nothing attached to it or no follow-up, in my mind, it's just a waste of money.
Right.
But if you're doing it as part of the process,
mm-hmm.
if you can capture that vision and you can kind of explain that to people and bring it back to us, then it's worth the extra money.
Right. And I agree. Like, I don't expect that the only thing we're going to get out of this is a logo. Who knows? I don't even know if we will get a logo. Like, maybe
exactly.
we'll keep our logo. Like, I'm really open to where things are
absolutely.
Going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in talking with them, because they were our top choice, I did follow up with them and have a conversation. And, I think that they understand that we do want some messaging and we want a vision and we want, like, a bit of a package, not necessarily just the visual, just a visual component.
But
and I think they've outlined that in here too, that they understand that there's a need for, a bit of a communications role as well.
And was that in the original package that they talked about helping out with the vision, or did they even mention vision, or is that something that we went back to them and said?
I asked them about that, but they did. And I can share. I can share this with you, but let me see if I can find something from here that would like. I think they recognize that what I was looking for would be challenging because I think that I was pretty. Specific in the RFP, like what I was looking
yeah.
for, and they definitely, yes, like they definitely addressed that. Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask one more question? So was there a second choice? Should this not go through? Is there a second choice of somebody that could deliver
the
logo and?
We did have a top
similar.
Three, and but M5 did come out well ahead of the other two. And I also followed up with their references as well, and they were they had very good things to say about them and were really a client-focused organization, and I think that that's really important because I think we will be working closely with them on this. So I was really happy to hear that.
Jenny, that was one of my concerns, is how close do we work with this group and open up lines of communication, and not just having a consultant come in with all the different components that they have, public engagement and all these other modules
mm-hmm.
that they work with, because that just does not work.
No, I agree.
We need something different. We need something that engages a community, but engages the right parts of the community that are going to make this thing work. I don't know how many times we have gone through a branding program or whatever, and and it was money just thrown out. You could have used that for some other specific purpose in the municipality. And I'm half thinking about, is this going to work because we've had such bad experiences before, or experience that really isn't what we were looking for? And I think it's our time as council, although we're not to get involved in the day-to-day operations of the municipality and the departments, but I think we are out there with the public as well as you have been, and you
mm-hmm.
God bless you for the short time you've been here, almost be a year in September. You seem to have be grasping what we've noticed in our community. We've lived here all our lives, for short-term been here.
Yeah.
But, that's helpful, but it's just not getting a cookie-cutter type of thing that they're doing with all the other communities that they've dealt with.
Right.
And have they dealt with smaller communities like ours, or are they, I know they're in U.S. and they're in other communities, so are they a type of operation that can really see, or type of consultant, that can really get down to the nitty gritty of what will make it work here for us?
I think so. I mean, I haven't looked at the things that they've done in smaller communities, and I know they have worked with smaller communities in Newfoundland. I haven't looked those up, and I'm assuming that that would be their Newfoundland office anyway,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily. But Richard and I spoke to them last week and made it very clear that we wanted to be really involved in the process. That because they outlined sort of a, like, their sort of standard approach, and I said, like, we need to be able to work with that. Like, I understand you have this, but are you open to having conversations and reworking that and adding things and being able to get people engaged who want to be engaged? Like, that's the other thing. If people don't want to be engaged, they're not going to be engaged no matter what you do.
Absolutely.
So I think just being able to target people where they are, engage them where they are. So they seemed very open to working with us on that and having us work closely with them, and I think we'll come up with an engagement plan together.
Did they have anything to do with Newfoundland and their promotional things that we've been seeing in the past, or do they need commercials and that sort of thing? Was this company involved in that?
They were involved in that, I think, in the early days. I don't know if they've been involved in that recently.
Those are awesome.
The stuff out of Newfoundland is incredible.
Yes.
And I know I'm biased, but it's really,
yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Thanks.
Any other councillor have a question? Councillor Johnson?
I think that blind must be up in the window again today, isn't it?
No?
Yeah. Anyway, Jenny, I look at your recommendation.
Yeah.
And I guess it comes down for me is how comfortable you are with working with this group. What I'd like to be able to see is I'd like to see a project timeline.
Okay.
You know, when they're going to get to the end deliverable for us.
Right.
And how that aligns with our payment schedule to them. Because if it's going to run over another budget year, then there's money already allocated somewhere. Right.
Right.
And I see how those two line up.
So the five phases that we proposed in the RFP were within one fiscal year. And they have, I built in a lot of extra time, like starting, say, May 1st, and then right through until January, because I just wanted to give enough time for engagement, enough time to kind of, for them to get to know the community, for when something is designed, enough time for us to provide feedback or the public stakeholders to provide feedback to ensure that that actually is what we want. So I know that that is going to take time. So it won't be, it could, I mean, right now it's not looking like it would extend into another fiscal year. It would be from May until January. And they did provide I provided a timeline, and they provided their timeline, which matched up.
Because I noticed that, you know, for dollar, for the number of hours they're going to put in it, they know the challenge.
Yeah, and they did. They were, they proposed, I think, 459 hours, which was the second highest.
Yeah.
And so it seemed like good value for money, which is also something that their references said, too.
And you've got an escape clause. And if we get to the 400th hour and they've only half delivered us.
Right.
Yeah.
Or we're not happy with it, or you don't feel represented.
Good job.
Any other councillor have a question or comment? Councillor Fancy?
I just haven't been sold into this right from the start anyway, so it doesn't matter. Because it's to have a logo out there or another, how is that going to make a difference, I guess. And again, I have to see how it sells in, because Councilor Johnson would know, Lord Queen really just don't care who you brand or not, really.
Right.
You know, really wouldn't matter. And I would think it's the same thing. Yeah, they don't feel part of
space.
I know, but I talked to, I've talked to different people that rebranded. What do you want to put in $50,000 to rebrand? you know, for just a, you know, calm Joe on the street. They just say, well, what are we doing? What are we going to do? Trying to find escape from whatever, you know, whatever it's got to, what is it going to do to make everybody feel part of, and or are we just going to come back with a new logo that we say, okay, this is our new logo because it seems to fit?
Well, I think, I don't know if there's going to be a new logo. Like, I don't know what's going to come out of this. What I want to come out of it personally is for me to have something that I can take wherever I go, and I know what I want to say. Like, I know what I want to say about Queens now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll align with that. I don't know. But I really don't know what's going to come out of this process. Like, what I hope for is that it is something that resonates with people. And I think we have an opportunity to bring together Queens County so that there is, like, this sort of unified approach to, you know, this is who we are. We want people to move here, whether it's Liverpool or Caledonia or Greenfield or whatever. Like, what do we have here that is going to attract people, and how can I use that to sell Queens County and bring investment here and bring business here and bring people here? So that's what I want out of it. I mean,
yes,
me too.
And I think that also there's a lot of new people here, and with, I think, a lot of ideas too about what it means to them. And I think it's really important to engage those people, engage people who lived here their whole life. Like, there has to be some commonalities.
Mm-hmm.
And then having something that looks good, that sounds good, that has an ability to target different audiences. Like, I think that's really important from an economic perspective. I don't know if that changed your mind at all. But like, when you think about those Newfoundland commercials, like, do you not want to go there? Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
You
I
feel
wish I could
like
afford to go there.
It's. But I think that you see something like that, and you, like, you can't help but feel like it resonates.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would be really nice to have something
yeah.
that kind of resonated with people.
So,
and
just to continue on with that, if I could, please. So those are types of things I can start to maybe see a little glimpses of where you're going with it.
Yeah.
If you could be able to say, okay, in Queens County, we, you know, maybe have a, maybe it could be a commercial with some pictures of different things and different places and people didn't even know about, and you know, things like that.
Right.
Which is what Newfoundland does. It so it tries to
well,
capture.
It also, it takes the ordinary and makes it special.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely so. So yeah, so their part isn't going to be say, well, here we should say, okay, we'll go back to one of our phrases, escape from the ordinary, and say, this is what we think you should be your phrase, and just go forward. If you folks want to do the other stuff, you just do it yourself. They're going to be there with that, or are they going to be just saying, here's your logo, you go forward to promote it the way you want to promote it?
I think we're going to be working together with them on it. And also, they're not going to just say, here's something, run with it.
Right.
I mean, there's like, for we built in a training component for staff, something that should be available for businesses if they want to be able to use the logo or messaging or whatever, try to build experiences around that.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and also, like, you ultimately decide. Right. So if you don't like it, then there's room to rework that.
Right.
Right. So, but you as a council will have an opportunity to.
Yeah.
I have council
advice. I won't be long. I just wanted to state that from the public perception and from what you see from other municipalities or other provinces is. We are very, we're not promoters of what we have here
right.
in any way. And I think this has to incorporate what is the best way to get the message out to others in the county, in the country, that this is what we have here. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
we're the best kept secret, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly is we get very little acknowledgement from government agencies that are out there promoting things for us. You know, and if we can incorporate all that into an action plan after this is over,
right.
once this is established, then we have to, like you say, do the work and get out there
yeah.
and make sure that this, that we have to make this thing work, whatever they come up with, or whatever we all come up with.
And I think that that'll be a second part to that, was, mm-hmm. is that there will have to be some kind of communication strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like a social media plan or, yeah, I think that there will be a whole kind of marketing communications that'll come after this.
Yeah, and something different.
Councillor Fraley?
I just wanted to say that I think that one of the things that Councillor Fancy is probably struggling with is, again, the word branding that leaves such a bad taste in everybody's mouth. Because when you talk about it the way you do, with passion and talk about the things that need to recur after it, it makes so much more sense. That's why we were opposed to it being called branding, because, as you said, there may not even be a brand, but the exercise will lead us down the road to really embrace all the things. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had a branding exercise, of kind of a odd one, before in the last term, and it was a pitcher that hung here, and it just eventually disappeared, and it had pitcher
mm-hmm.
bow water on it, and it mm-hmm. just meant nothing to anybody that, you know, we were sitting here. So it was hard to move forward with that. So bear with us. I think that we're all on board.
Okay. I'm new too.
Yeah.
at this. So. But I did get a really good feeling from them, and I think we'll work well together. Like, I'm not worried about that at all.
Excellent.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Question.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you.
Thank you to the staff and the region of Queens that have been supporting the research. And stuff.
Yes. I'd like to thank them too, actually.
Thanks for coming in on your vacation.
You're welcome. I'm going
to
go now.
That's not a vacation, by the way.
So now we're going to go back to 6.0, approval of minutes. Any errors or omissions in the regular council meeting of April the 9th minutes? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councillor McLeod, seconded by Councillor Mews. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous by those who are able to vote.
Yep.
Councillor Johnson is not present and declined to vote. Under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. We do have Kellyanne Hurley, our bylaw enforcement officer, who would like to take the presentation next.
All warmed up for you.
Thank you.
7.1. Who would like to take the lead on 7.1?
Right here. I recommend that the Council of Regional Queens declare the property located at 871 Old Garden Road, Pleasantfield, Nova Scotia, identified as PIN number 70109806, as danger and unsightly as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia. And the Council of Regional Queens cause an order to be served upon the owner of the property located at 871 Old Garden Road, Pleasantfield, Queens County, Nova Scotia, required that within 14 days of the date of the serve of the order, the following work be carried out. One, demolition of dwelling. Two, demolition of outhouse. Three, fill outhouse hole. Demolition materials delivered to Region of Queens Municipal Landfill, and five, leveling of property. And then if the owner failed to comply with the order of the administrator, may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out, and all expenses incurred by the Region of Queens become the responsibility of the owners.
Second to that? Kellyanne, would you like to give a very brief update on this?
Sure. 871 Old Garden Road, Pleasantfield, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 70109806. Assessed owners Philip Cross and Mildred Eisner. I offer this information for your consideration. This property has been on the Region of Queens bylaw enforcement roster since November of 2018. The dwelling on this property is a single-story structure built on concrete pads. Information received from neighboring residents revealed the structure as a seasonal dwelling or a cabin. The front of the building is fully exposed and apparently has been for some time. There was a partial addition started in 2015, however, never completed. There is an open building permit on the dwelling, however, property owners have never followed up with the inspector with any updated reporting. The structure did have electricity at one time, and their meter remains on the dwelling, however, disconnected. The useful life of the asphalt shingles have gone and portions have blown from the roof. There is an outhouse situated on the property, which too will require demolition and filling in. The photographs circulated here today are self-explanatory. It's recommended that we move forward with a formal demolition as the owners are unreachable. A registered letter was sent in November of 2018 and unclaimed. Many other attempts to locate the owners proved negative, including many investigations with neighboring residents. All notifications rendered negative results.
Any questions? Councilor Fairley?
Who did you say the owners were? Are they residents?
Philip Cross and Mildred Eisner. And it came to my knowledge last week that Philip Cross is now deceased and Mildred Eisner is in a nursing home in the valley. And there's no other vested interest in the property at this point.
And you call it a cabin. I mean, surely this is not a cabin that's being used by anybody at this point, right?
No, it hasn't been for some time.
Not an Airbnb.
Have you seen the pictures?
Well, the pictures. That's why when you called it a cabin.
Open concept.
Very airy.
Airy, great views.
Okay,
yeah,
so
room for horse.
I understand that.
So I take it nobody's been paying taxes on this for a long time either then?
Right. However, it has not met the tax roster yet.
Okay.
Due to the amount and or the specific years. I think it's 5,000 or more or 5 years and more. Or more.
Okay, so
will it hit the tax roster?
That's what we're waiting for the next
it
step.
It will probably after the demolition.
Option. Because once we put the lien on it for these costs as well, then are we in a right to sell it ourselves or put it up to auction, or does it still have to wait for the tax sale?
Well, we'll have to wait for the tax sale, the formal tax sale. It will have to be posted. But it does go through a tender process for demolition, and of course we choose the cheapest tender, so we'll try to do our very best to save some money.
Any other councilor wants to speak? Councilor Muse?
So, and this says if the owners fail to comply, we're pretty sure they're going to fail to comply because it is.
Right.
So.
One is.
The other one's in the home, so in other words, it's going to be us. It's going to be doing.
Very good.
So in other words, it's going to be the tax thing on the
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Any other councilor have a comment or a question? Are you ready for the question?
Questions?
All those in favor of the motion?
Thank you very much.
Heather thinks you did a really fun job.
We're now back to Carroll Economic Development under that. We have 8.2 Business Facade Program 2019-20 recommendation. I'd ask Richard Lane from the Economic Development Department to come forward. Who would like to take the lead on 8.2? Councilor McLeod?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the application criteria for a business facade program 2019-2020.
Seconded by Councilor Johnson. Richard, would you like to give us an update on this?
Sure. So the amount of money allocated towards facade programs approved in budget and the reason for bringing the recommendation today was just mostly down to the fact that there's a recommendation that instead of last year where we targeted two downtown areas, because there are other communities within the county who have what could be construed as micro downtowns, that we in fact open the criteria for the business facade program and make it applicable to the whole county.
Ready for questions? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
So, where are these areas?
For example, Port Medway.
Right.
Greenfield.
So they're all going to be, they're going to be identified in these areas. It's not just everything in Queens County.
At the moment, the recommendation is that it's open to the county.
And how did, and you came up with that because why? Like, it's $50,000, right?
It's $25,000 at the moment. There's an application in place for the province for match funding, which
right.
would make it
$50,000, right?
But at the present time, there's $25,000 allocated
right.
to this program.
I always thought we were trying to grow our downtown Liverpool. Like, I don't know how many times we've had this conversation in growing downtown Liverpool. You know, are we growing Port Medway? Are we growing Mill Village? Are we growing...
Under the motion you are. Under the motion.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I don't know how many times we've talked about this under the municipal planning strategy and in the planning advisory committee and where our focus needs to be. We want business to be in our business districts. And, you know, the more we promote everywhere else, then $50,000 is not going to go anywhere. We're going to basically, so do we use up our $50,000?
Not quite.
No.
So there were 10, last year there were 10 applications that were approved. 8 of them got to the point where they completed work that we paid out on.
And from your experience with the program last year, as it was a very shortened period, so we got rid of all that money in a very short period, people, lots of businesses in Liverpool and in our current districts in Caledonia and Liverpool just didn't have a chance to get the work done or didn't have a chance to go out and get the quotes or in that short period of time, which is basically in the winter time as well, to get that work done, that our main business district may lose out on completing work to make their buildings look better, and that main business district that people come to Liverpool and see, that they may not get it next year because anybody can apply. Like, somebody down on Gull Island Road has got a little business down there fixing lawnmowers or whatever else, and motors and stuff like that is going to fix up, or Bose up there on Old Port Tomb Road. They're going to use that money to do work on the outside of their building, which is going to make no difference to anybody whatsoever.
I'm not sure that fully understand what a facade program is. It's used to create economic development in your downtown. If you muddy the waters, if you spread it out, you have done nothing for that. And anyone will tell you to draw people into a community, which then benefits everyone around, you need to have a focus. And if you lose your focus, then you're just spreading money out, and it's not helping anyone because it doesn't translate to a better business, a better tourist area, a better anything if it's spread out. Even when we talked about it last time at Exit 19 in Caledonia, and nothing against Caledonia, it does not, this program in particular does not help the downtown and what we need to draw people in. Because we can look to our neighbors anywhere, look at Yarmouth, they focus on their downtown and they have changed the trajectory of their tourism and everything that goes along with it. And if we continue to spread this out, it's great for little pockets, I get that. That is a different program. The facade program is meant to be a downtown focused area to draw people in from all around the province. And if you don't have that, you're never going to. And I know I can hear people sighing and wondering what's, you know, why I'm saying this. But all you have to do is look at the history, and they will tell you that if you do focus and remain focused, you will be successful in the end, and everybody benefits from more people coming to Queens. And if you lose focus, which we already did, I feel, a little bit last year, then you, nobody benefits from it. So I will definitely not be voting on this in favor.
Any other councilor like to speak on this issue? Fancy?
I have no problem talking about it. It's, and I understand where Councilor Kralik and Councilor Kelly are coming from. our downtown does need an uplift and make it look better. And I agree with this, but that's why we have seven councilors, because we all have to feel where our beliefs are. And I can't change my belief to match somebody else. But I think places like Fort Medway, who's done a fantastic job down in that little Fort Medway grocery and things like that, that is a center for them, which draws people in too. And like the Riverside Cafe is a center too. I think all the money is going to one spot and not going to give them an opportunity to do things. I think they deserve much. That's my opinion. That's only one opinion.
Any other councilor have a comment or a question on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? It passed 6-2. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Moving on to 9.0, Corporate Services, we have 9.1, Request for Grant from the Liberty County Wellness Burford Center Corporation. Who would like to take the lead on 9.1?
I'll move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality provide grant funding to the Lunenburg County Multi-Purpose Center Corporation in the amount of $5,000 from its 2019-2020 Community Investment.
Seconded to that motion, Councilor Fancy. We'll go right to discussion. Who would like to speak on this? Deputy Mayor Kelly.
3% of our population go to the LCLC and they pay their fees, and that's what it's supposed to be. The people that pay their fees and pay when they go. We are not taxpayers down there. We do not have anything to say about how they spend their budget money and who they put in place to spend it and how they run their operation. And I'm totally against us giving any money to another municipality to further their infrastructure. We deal with our own, they deal with their own. This isn't a partnership of any kind whatsoever. This is them, give them their due. You don't ask, you don't get. And they're going out and asking everybody for help. And if they get a little bit, well, that's more than they had before. But there's absolutely no way in the world that I would approve or agree to this recommendation to give another facility when our taxpayers' money going to the Lunenburg County, when our other facility has a deficit.
Any other councilor? Councilor McLeod?
Well, I'll say up front, I'm not in favor of the contribution. And I also like to ask, have we not supported the LCLC with manpower in the last? Did we not provide them some assistance with our, with Steve going down and helping them try to organize events and that sort of thing?
CAO, would you like to respond?
Yes, we did. They paid for that service. So.
Oh, they paid for the service, okay. But it was available to them.
Okay. Councilor Johnson?
Well, I think Councilor McLeod asked my question, but I knew Steve was somewhere part and parcel of that conversation. Then I think if Leon was here, he just keeps echoing in my ear. You know, we had a group here from North Queens this morning looking for a simple $10,000 to keep some of that 3% from going to the LCLC. I think we look after our own first, unless there's some kind of underlying benefit that the CAO can shed light here as to, is it a strategy here to build some kind of partnership long term that we may take over that facility? So I don't know.
So I recommend that you want to send me to the NS. There's no underlying strategy.
Oh, okay.
I can't make a negative motion, so the recommendation has to be in a positive form.
Oh, okay. That's what I would say.
Sounds good, fancy.
Yes, and I don't go along with sending money down there either. And again, as I like to make everybody aware, always, is that when we put a motion on the floor, it's going to be a positive motion, and you've got to get seconded so you can be able to bring it here. That doesn't mean you agree with it when you second it. I remember just a couple years ago, or a few years ago, when HB Studios was coming here looking for money. And I noticed that HB Studios is in deeper trouble, and LCLC aren't even helping them out. So it's like you could say, well, they use the people from Bridgewater use the soccer field. So then why aren't they helping there? So, you know, it's everybody just have a need. Theirs is a little bit more because they have a swimming pool that's driving their bills a lot higher. So I just don't think there's anything we can be able to do to help with that. I know some people come from Bridgewater go out and use our weight rooms. So maybe we should charge back. I don't know. Anyway, so but
maybe we can offer them our facade program.
What's that?
Maybe we could offer them our facade program.
Don't be facetious.
So, Councilor Fancy,
yes.
that all you have? That it?
Yeah.
Thank you. So, are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion?
Jesus.
All those opposed to the motion? Unanimously opposed.
I almost did.
So the next one is 9.2. It is rescission of motion respecting letter to Minister Keith Caldwell, Ocean Code Ethics, on Fort Mattoon Bay. Councilor Frelick, would you like to take the lead on this one?
Sure. I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality rescind the motion passed at November 12, 2014 meeting, which reads as follows. That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the sending of this letter to Minister Keith Caldwell as presented to Council, opposing the license renewal for Ocean Pro Aquaculture Farm in Fort Mattoon Bay.
Seconded to that? Councilor Fancy? So, I have a point of clarification I want to give everybody right now so we're all clear on this issue. Agenda item 9.2, motion of rescission. The council motion of November 12, 2014 approved sending a letter to Provincial Fisheries and Aquaculture Minister Keith Caldwell that clarifies RQM opposition to finfish aquaculture in Port Mattoon Bay while stating that finfish aquaculture in Liverpool Bay is different, appreciated, and the bay flushes well, setting a precedent for RQM on aquaculture. The motion to rescind, if passed, will only rescind the 2014 motion approval as the letter was sent and will not be able to be recalled. To meet Council's Municipal Government Act expectations, as well as Borneo's Rules of Order and Rules of Procedure of the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality, prior to any opposing action being considered by Council, it will be necessary for this motion to rescind to have been passed with a simple majority vote. Should the motion under 9.2 to rescind not be passed, motions included on the agenda under items 9.3 and 9.4 will not be able to be considered by council. The floor is now open for discussion on the motion to rescind, and I will return to Councilor Frelick.
I don't think I have anything to add to this. Thank you.
Any other member of council would like to comment or ask a question on this? Councilor Johnson?
Well, I'm just trying to make this practical as possible, but I see that's impossible. So. But to that end, we have to do this to get us to a point where we would go with the next motion and say that we still oppose fin fishery in Port Mattoon Bay, and then take our stance to say we don't want to see any further expansion in Liverpool Harbor or Liverpool Bay.
If this motion is rescinded, then those two can be looked upon for a discussion. If it's not rescinded, then the Port Mattoon Bay, one is already included in this one. And of course, the Liverpool Bay becomes the difficulty. So you're not gonna re-add the second one where you haven't rescinded it. So basically 9.3 and 9.4 do not become items for the agenda today that we can discuss.
We're not undoing anything that the prior administration did in this motion.
We are. If we rescind, we're removing the approval for that letter, which includes protection for Port Mattoon Bay and states positively favorable issues for Liverpool Bay. So in view of the Protect Liverpool Bay position that's come before us, we have to rescind this motion, or it becomes a precedent previous issue that we have already some conflicting issues with in the Protect Liverpool Bay position. So I want to make it very clear, because after the vote, depending upon how the vote goes, everyone will know when they vote their conscience what their vote will mean.
Yeah.
Am I clear? Does everyone understand this?
I just want to make sure we're not doing anything in this motion that's going to hurt the efforts of how far we got the Port Mattoon Bay.
If this motion is rescinded and then the next motion is not passed, then yes, they have no protection at all. So there is always that risk. I can't speak to how a future vote will go on any motion that's on the agenda.
Right.
But that's the long and the short of the issue. So is there any other discussion on this, Councilor Muse?
Like I said, I have a problem with rescinding this motion. The Friends of Port Mattoon Bay, like, they did their own research, they raised their own money. They went to Portland and to Beach Meadows and asked the people, when they was fighting the fish farm, to get involved. They didn't want to get involved. So, you know, the Port Mattoon Bay did it on their own. That's why it's called Friends of Port Mattoon Bay. There's families out there working on the fish farm, I know. I'm not really sure, listening to them, if they want to get rid of the fish farms completely or they don't want expansions, but I'm hearing downtown that they want to get rid of the fish farms completely. And I have a problem with that. When you got four families out there working, three of the families are in my district, one guy has with them. Listening in here today, there's more studies out there on fish farms. I'm not saying I'm in favor of expansion, but, you know, what are we going to do to help? I got no problem if these people want to be interveners, let them be interveners. I just have a problem with the region getting involved with provincial government.
Any other councillor? Councillor Fisk?
I'm going to make it quite clear now that I'm not going to vote in favor of rescinding that motion. And one reason is that we've sat here for month or two listening to the protests debates and what goes on, and we highly respected them, and I feel that we could never speak out what we felt at all. And also, I'm going to be like the old saying, Muhammad Ali said one time, went to jail for it. He said cooks never bothered me in any way, or I have never seen where everybody thinks they lie and where that comes from. So I'm against the motion.
Any other comments or questions before we go to the vote? Yes, Councilor Johnson?
Well, I guess maybe it can be fixed in 9.3. But to support what Councilor Muse said, you know, the way 9.3 reads, it says that you take the position that fin fish agriculture in Port Mattoon Bay is not acceptable. It isn't the fact that it's not acceptable. You don't want it. An expansion of Port Mattoon Bay, right? Not clear in what you just stated? Or maybe I didn't understand, or you didn't
there
understand.
Isn't any there right now, but they are doing studies. It looks like steelheads are coming down. They're going to put another bunch of steelheads in there. They've been out there doing current tests.
To cut to the chase, Provincial Fisheries and Aquaculture is doing research on Port Mattoon Bay at this time to determine whether it will operate as a fin fish farm in the future or remain without. And that's an assessment under the new regulations they have to do. So one can look at the following resolution. resolutions and recommendations here that we would be looking at if the motion were rescinded. However, there's no promise that any of these will pass. So they're there for future deliberation, for discussion, and a vote. But the Port Mattoon issue is, there is a potential that removing that protection may or may not have an impact.
I just have a question about the original letter that was sent to Keith Caldwell, and it states, and I just want to get clarification of what that meant and why we are rescinding it, because we discussed an opposition to any expansion in Liverpool Bay and what reflection that had on this letter, because it indicates in this letter sort of subliminally that we would approve or are not against any development near Coffin Island. Is that right?
It states on the second page of that letter that was approved by council in 2014.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The region of Queens is not opposed to fish farming.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we are in periodic discussions with Cook Aquaculture with regard to the farm at Coffin's Island in Liverpool Bay. The operators enjoy an excellent relationship with local fishermen, and we appreciate the employment it brings to the area. The site is so different, and they're talking about Liverpool Bay,
mm-hmm.
from the one in Port Mattoon. There's considerable flushing action in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's enough in that statement to
mm-hmm.
cause a conflict with any effort that Protect Liverpool Bay would want council to take.
That's why I'm asking
so
the
that's
question.
Why it needs to be rescinded.
Yeah, that's, I just wanted to clarify.
If you wish to proceed with Liverpool Bay as they've asked in their protection requirements. So I think we're quite clear that it's either rescind and then move on with the other motions, or not to rescind
mm-hmm.
and you don't move on with the other motions that are on the agenda today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, are we ready for the question?
Question.
I want you to hold your hands up so that I can count. So, all those in favor of rescinding the motion? I have four. Okay. And five. Am I counting five?
Five.
Yep.
Okay. And those opposed? So 5-3 does carry. So we will now move on to 9.3. Councilor Gribble.
This can of worms again. I so move that the Region of Queens Municipality take a position that FinFirm Aquaculture in Port Mattoon Bay is not acceptable due to the lack of flushing ability as indicated in the scientific data collected by Friends of Port Mattoon Bay Group.
Seconder for that? Deputy Mayor Kelly? Discussion on that item. Councilor News?
One of the things that's going on tomorrow, the Agriculture Department and Fisheries is meeting with myself and three other fishermen from Port Mattoon to tell us some of the results of the test.
What was that last part I couldn't hear?
They've given us the results on some of the tests that they did up there a couple months ago. They had some bladders and kermit movement that they put up there. So they're going to move it just tomorrow at 4 o'clock and tell us what went on.
Any other counselor? Councilor Johnson?
So with that information, is that going to change the fact of the flushing rates and all that stuff? You know, like what has changed? And
They could say, like, there isn't a flushing rate. They could put so much fish in there. I don't know. They didn't. They got the scientists and the agriculture department meeting us tomorrow.
Any other counselor have a comment or a question? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Moving on to 9.4. Councilor.
I so move that the Region of Queens Municipality take a position that expansion of fin fish aquaculture beyond the operation of the existing fin fish aquaculture site near Coffin Island is not acceptable in Liverpool Bay.
Seconded for that. Councillor Johnson. Any discussion on that one? Councillor McLeod.
It's a very generic statement, and it doesn't say, as the other motion did, why it's not acceptable.
So your question is, it's a very short motion.
Mm-hmm.
There is no science that I'm aware of, or Councillor Felix aware of, in Liverpool Bay.
And when I read that, it says beyond the operation of the existing fin fish aquaculture. Does that mean that that's not part of even expansion? Because if we're saying beyond that, well, that does that mean that they can still expand?
Councillor Frehley, did you want to define that?
No, they're talking about the existing of the existing fin firm.
Fin fish.
Sorry. At the moment,
but
and not requesting that they expand on the existing model.
I know what you're thinking of saying, but is that going to cover this?
I don't know.
They could expand.
It
says.
This is just a stand. This is not.
Take a position that any expansion of the fin fish aquaculture beyond the operation that exists there. I mean, that's pretty clear.
Well, it's acceptable in Liverpool Bay. That means, to me, I could read into that they could still expand down in the beach meadows. I can see that.
I'm hearing that.
The actual
I just want to make sure that's right.
Expansion of finfish aquaculture beyond the operation of the existing finfish farm.
Beyond that.
Not acceptable.
Yeah. That means that could be part of it. It could expand. That's what I get from that.
No.
But as long as we're okay with that.
Well, I don't know if anybody's okay with it. That'll be determined when we have a vote. But the question is, Councillor Frelick worked on the motion, so
yeah.
He's the best person to explain what he intends with that motion.
I've already stated what
Yeah, and I agree with what he intends. I just want to make sure the motion does cover that. That's all I
appreciate.
It appears to say that to me. Yes.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions on this? Commissioner McLeod.
Knowing the fact that there could be other operators wanting to apply for finfish operations within our waters. That would apply to that as well. Now, this is only the expansion of the existing one, right?
As a past motion of council, that would apply to Liverpool Bay. As you would all appreciate, the Aquaculture Review Board will make those decisions, not the Region Queen. So what we're doing is taking a
position on this one.
And
we're
making a position which doesn't have science behind it at this point. It's just a position.
So hopefully with this, it will hopefully relieve or get the message out to the friends of Liverpool Bay, whatever, they'll be satisfied with this.
I don't know that.
You'd
have to ask Protect Liverpool Bay what their thoughts will be. I expect that if this passes, they'll be back looking for interviews. That's yet to be determined.
Yeah.
And they probably won't be the only ones looking for intervener status. Open that door. So, anyway, any other comments or questions before we go to the vote? Ready for the question?
Question.
Question.
All those in favor of this motion? We have five. Those opposed? We have three. Pass 5-3. Thank you. Moving on to 10.0, Engineering and Works. We have nothing for this council meeting. Under 11.0, Finance, we have 11.1, Resolution for Pre-Approval of Prevention. Who would like to take the lead on 11.1? Councillor Johnson?
I'd like to recommend the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the borrowing resolution the Brooklyn Sewer and Water, Shore Road to Park, to the park, I'm assuming, for pre-approval to participate in the spring 2019 debenture insurance.
Seconded to that, Councilor Crisp. Any discussion on this item? Councilor McLeod.
And this is for the expansion for the new one coming up?
No, this is the one that's completed last year.
Okay, I'm going to say because Park is there, that's what.
So you'll see on the next page, it gives the temporary board resolution approved by council back in February. So we need that in order to actually borrow. And not actually go borrow money from this finance corporation, but it's passed the board money.
Any other questions at council?
Question.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Under 12.0 Recreation and Community Facilities, we have nothing today. Under 13.0 Planning, we have 13.1 Appointment to the Planning Advisory Committee. We would like to take the lead on 13.1.
I recommend that Michael Ferguson be appointed to the Planning Advisory Committee as representative for District 5 for term to expire on October 31st, 2020.
Who would like to second that? Councilor Crowe. Any discussion on 13.1? Are you ready for the questions?
Yes, sir.
All those in favor of the motion? In favor of the motion?
Sir.
It's unanimous, thank you. Takes us over to reports. 14.1. Council implementation report with the circulator. Any questions on 14.1 implementation report? Councilor Crowe.
On January 8th, funding application for Lower Main. Any idea when we expect that to be brought back with an approval?
Lower Waterloo Street.
Yeah. Waterloo Street, sorry, did I not say what?
I said names, but. Lower Waterloo.
Oh, sorry.
No, we haven't received a response yet.
That
one still outstanding.
That one tiny little bar is not working anymore. Thank you. But it, you expect it to be in the next?
I'm expecting it to be within the next couple of weeks.
And we haven't, we can't start anything, is that correct, until we get that?
Can't start it until you have the money.
But when we start it, we will be having public meetings and we'll do everything that we can in the policy.
We'll repeat the process that we went through last time.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on the implementation report? Okay. CAO will be back shortly. With your permission, while we're waiting for him, I circulated a short report on the NSFM meeting. CAO is back, so we'll keep it moving. We're down to the solid waste report, 14.2.
Probably we'll be ready for that.
Right. 14.2 solid waste report.
Kellyanne, is Scott here too?
I'd ask you if you'd like to come to the presentation desk. Kellyanne Hurley and Scott LeBlanc.
What's this for?
This is here.
This is for the big bulk.
This is great.
There is some information in this confidential report that relates
report
to fees and costs, and they're not releasable or available in open discussion today, so please be considerate of that proprietary information that's in that report.
So one of the one of our priorities last year was talking about litter and solid waste, and so it's taken us a while to get to the point this point, but we finally have done a document or a draft document in front of you here today. So Scott's been involved, Kellyanne's been involved, Brad Broder was involved, Mike McLeod was involved, Councilor Fancy was involved, and we invited a couple other councilors, but they weren't able to make it that particular day. We sat and had discussions. The document is long, but it provides you with a detailed analysis of where our solid waste is and how we operate our facilities, how we collect things, and I expect you ask your residents, they put their garbage out once every 2 weeks and you have no idea what happens to it, or just happy it disappears. But at the end of the day, it's a very complex system that we have. It's not a simple system. And between all the regulatory and legislative requirements and the stuff that we see with illegal dumping and trying to operate one of the 7 landfills in the province, or solid waste management facility in the province, it's a very costly adventure. And as you heard today from Kellyanne about unsightly premises, we get those on a regular basis. We get people dumping into their properties that they don't want to pay the cost for. So we are very generous in what we offer to residents as far as taking their waste to the landfill. And we are very generous. So there's a couple things, and Scott can elaborate on these things, but we're one of the few municipalities left in Nova Scotia, maybe the only one, that still allows co-mingling of recyclables, so all of it goes in one bag. Most other ones have separation of at least 2 bags, I believe. There are a number of municipalities that have gone to a clear bag for waste, for black, instead of black bags, go to clear bags. I think Scott can elaborate that that's the ones that have done that, have seen no difference in diversion at all. So it costs more for a clear bag than it does for a black bag, so it essentially costs those residents more money, but it hasn't helped in diversion any. And we recognize we have some problems with our gray boxes, and so the report does talk a little bit about that, but it's not a simple solution. There's no quick fix for that. There has been lots of discussion. There's another recommendation here about cameras, and every time we put a camera up, it gets stolen within 30 minutes or 60 minutes. So there is a strategy here that we consider some other options without on the public record saying what we plan to do. But there are a couple other options about how we may approach that in the report. And so there are, at the back, the recommendations in section. Tab 9. Do the recommendations and quickly, and then Scott and Kellyanne can add anything in. The first is public education, and all the people that we talked to, and the committee, and the counselors that got together had a discussion. That was the big thing, about trying to work, focus more on more public education, more public education, more public education. So there is some discussion there about some additional funding to help in public education. The second is the EPR, which doesn't want to go away. The challenge for EPR, for extended producer responsibility, essentially is the private sector companies like the Johnson & Johnson or some of the other big companies would help pay for the waste that's generated from the packaging, which is what happens now with the dairy. A great relationship, so they contribute so much each year towards recycling of dairy products. They're the only industry that's come forward or a proactive basis to provide that funding. And so it's a challenge for us to know what EPR will do to us. Will EPR close our landfill? We're not sure. Will EPR generate more business or less business for our landfill? We're not sure. What are the impacts going to be? So this recommendation is for us to do an analysis, and obviously there's going to have to be a number of variables factored into it. If this happens, and this is to be the result, that B happens, this will be the result, and C happens, this will be the result. So the recommendation is we actually do that to provide council with some advice and some quality information, so when the issue comes up about EPR, as it usually does at UNSM or NSFM meetings and stuff, that council is educated as to what that impact is going to be on us. Because for us to go in right now and suggest we support EPR, maybe a motion or recommendation to close our landfill, we don't know that. But if that's the direction we're going to go, then we need to know that with our eyes wide open, that supporting EPR has the potential to have negative impacts. And we don't know what EPR looks like, so we don't know if that's the case yet. But there are a number of them in the country where EPR is a full EPR, I think. And then there's others that are hybrids. And so we need to have some assessment as to what that impact is going to be based on a hybrid system, based on a full system, or even based on the current system we have and what that looks like going forward, and whether we're sustainable at a facility at 10 months.
When you say EPR, extended producer responsibility, from the onset with all these meetings and, you know, we've been years ago, and then there's was just under the assumption that it was just monies that they had, that the provinces have monies that are paid through the packaging, and then that money goes to a municipality or a landfill operation somewhere to help recover the cost of managing that?
Well, to anything from education to collection.
So how would that, this proposal at our facility, would it be because a big massive one could be starting in the province?
Well, that's just it. And the thing against, well, the thing with EPR, the unknown, we're quite small, even collectively, is the Maritimes. And to get equivalent numbers out of Quebec or BC would get, you would have to have a central location for all the provinces. So you could end up transferring a month, and we don't know. That's the thing. We could be a feeder station where we could do a certain type of thing, maybe paper, send that. Another could be specializing in cardboard, send that. You'd still have the one main facility where it would all be collected eventually, right? So we don't know if we transfer or, I don't know where the central processing facility would be.
So this money would be used for that?
Well, yeah, but in EPR, they'll also look after your collection of your recyclables, so they'll be helping you with that. You'll have abandoned infrastructure on the, you know, as far as the MRF, I would say, but hopefully it becomes a transfer station of some sort. But yeah, the monies go towards anything from processing to collection and educating the public.
So we have a contract with GE's all trucks that collect three streams of waste.
Yeah.
So if the recyclable disappears, we'll have the same contract that collects two streams of waste.
They'll collect three, correct. They'll collect three. It won't be a separate collection. It'll still be part and parcel of everything else. That's not going to change.
But only if the private sector agrees.
Well,
So you're the dairy industry. The dairy industry is more often stuck providing funding to the divert Nova Scotia.
Yep.
And they can collect milk cartons themselves.
They could, yeah.
And they can say, you're not collecting at the road anymore. You've got to bring them to the grocery store where you bought them, and we'll take them there. And like tires, you got to trade your tires.
Yeah, but I think it's been stated from the get-go that they don't want to do that.
Probably not, but we don't know that. That's the issue.
Yeah, there are a lot of
all these different producers.
I just wanted to know where the risk was lying for us with our facility.
So if you're picking up the recyclables, if you're these companies, if you're Johnson & Johnson and Nielsen or other big companies, you can say, we don't want you to pick it up at curbside anymore. Or you're going to pick it up, you're going to deliver it to our facility. Or they're going to pick it up at curbside. Maybe they're not going to pick it up every 2 weeks.
Oh, they would start their own facility.
And then they would ship the month, and they wouldn't transfer to our facility, so we wouldn't need the staff, the landfill anymore to recycle some of that stuff. And that's why it's so convoluted, because we don't know what's going to look like.
We don't know what the final picture looks like.
And it could be that, because if we don't have the quantity, that all gets sent to Moncton or somewhere else gets sent to the facility. And a similar situation is in Chester, where they're trying to, they've got a company sustained that wants to burn garbage. And well, their law, my understanding is their law was based on everybody transporting their garbage to them.
Yeah.
And they want us to truck it for free. Well, and if they don't get all that garbage in Nova Scotia, then their model, they don't have enough garbage probably to generate that, the mall they have. And so, are we gonna take our garbage there and we're gonna pay for it? And so that's the problem, is you have all these different malls out there and people are making all these assumptions that probably aren't gonna come true. I know people in Cape Breton aren't gonna transport all the garbage to Chester and pay the truck to do it. They're gonna do it where they can do it cheapest, which is up to the diaper right now. So those models like that, that's the same model, for you. Because they're building, they don't have contracts to get garbage. I mean, if we ever build something
that's without a business.
We wouldn't enter into a contract to get suppliers.
That's right.
So it becomes complicated.
Councilor Spiller?
I'm okay.